even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast channel. I'm your host as usual, Guy, and Carl is with me as per. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm too hot. And not in like a good way. I am really warm. I'm not built for warmth, Carl.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of the weather is a bit heavy at the moment, to put it lightly. It's not the nicest when you're like, I mean, it's grand if it's a weekend, you want to be down at the beach or whatever, but when you're stuck in your house, you know, doing work, it's not great.
It really is, and because we're doing something that is needing audio, I can't even put my goddamn fan on. I will figure out a way over the summer to aim it through like two rooms so it keeps me cool, but it doesn't come up on the bloody microphone. But that is future Guy problems. So, Carl, we're here. I don't know why I said here like that. We are here to pretty much, I don't even know if this is part two of an E3 preview, because E3 is pretty much going on now, but we're kind of just doing almost live updates and stuff that's broken the week, and some more events got scheduled and more information came up. So we thought, well, might as well do, we're going to try and keep it shorter than the last one, but no promises, because obviously listening to a 2-hour show during the event, it might be a bit pointless, but we'll get into the stuff. So, Carl, the Gorilla Collective was Saturday, I think you said, and there was a shit ton of games to put it in its collective state. We've kind of picked out a handful each. I mean, we can't really go through every game because we can't remember all them games. But do you want to go through one of yours first, and then we'll zigzag?
Yeah, so my first pick that stood out to me was Source of Madness from Carrie Castle. Now, the game's a roguelite, which obviously is a very popular game genre these days. I mean, recently we had Hades, which is a kind of industry darling. But for me, this game stood out because of its art style. I mean, it seems to take place in some sort of castle, and you've got a lot of different monsters and creatures to take on, and they all have, you know, they all really are eye-catching in terms of how they've been drawn and created. So I mean, it helps the game stand out, in because as we were talking off air beforehand, and as you were saying, there seems to be a lot of 2D platforming games with their own spin. And you really want to be able to stand out from the crowd. And I think this game certainly did with its art style. So, I mean, it's caught my eye. So I'll be keeping an eye on this one. And when it comes out, I certainly might give it a go.
Yeah, it certainly looked interesting. I mean, you did the heavy lifting just watching the entire event. I assume whilst doing other stuff in the foreground. And I just had this on in the background. But yeah, I just kind of hoard my way through trailers this afternoon in a YouTube thread. But no, this one did look interesting. I think the fact that, I mean, is it a platform or is it like, as you say, Returnal, Hades, One Life, One Go type crack? I don't know what you call them properly.
To be honest, both, At the time, I thought it was Metroidvania based on the trailer, but it was only afterwards that I read it's supposed to be a roguelite, which is a bit daunting to me because I do tend to have trouble with roguelites and roguelikes because I hate having my progress reset by death and having to repeat things I've already done. I'm not as good at 2D games as I once was, you know, in my younger days. So it can be a bit of a struggle, but I think, as I said, I will keep an eye on this one. And if kind of previews and such and reviews once it comes out are strong, I may well be tempted to give it a go.
Yeah, what was interesting.
What stood out to you, Guy, from the trailers you watched?
Everyone will know this. It's not Stardew Valley, but it looks a lot like Stardew Valley, and that is Tinkertown. My only sadness here is when I was looking up the trailers and stuff, it seems like it's only on PC or coming to PC in the near future, so hopefully it does come across to console. But I mean, it looked like a cross of Stardew Valley, a bit of fighting, and a bit more fighting in there, and it looked co-op as well from what I saw. There were certainly multiple characters in there, so if you build off stuff that's successful in Stardew, then I know that. I think there's multiplayer on Stardew now, but if you build around that and widen it up a bit, I think games like that, I think people go into games like that just thinking it looked crap, but then they play it and then they fall in love with it. Because one of my mates was like that. He's like, this game looked crap, and now him and his girlfriend are playing that like more than I ever did. So I think that has the potential to be one of them games. So if that ever comes on the console, it'll be one I'll probably pick up straight away, because I mean, I love myself some Stardew Valley, I won't lie.
No, we know. I think maybe not every show, but I think every couple of shows,
oh, yes,
Stardew Valley somehow creeps into the discussion. So I thought of you when I saw that, yes, one. I thought that this if Guy is watching, this is going to have caught his eye. So I'm not surprised that's not your first pick.
I just love these types of games. I mean, yeah. But what was your second?
Yeah, so my second pick was Industria from Bleak Mill. It looked to be kind of an old school first person shooter inspired by Half-Life and BioShock, as the developer stated. And I mean, right there are two of my favorite single player focused first person shooters. So that line alone is going to catch my interest. And I mean, looking at it, I like the game looks dated in that, like, it wouldn't have looked out of place on like the PS2 or maybe the PC back in that era. But for me, that's not a bad thing. I think obviously that, of course, it is. It's a purpose approach that they've taken in regards to the visual style. And I really like it because it screams Half-Life to me. So not only is it does have that inspiration in terms of the gameplay, but it also seems to have it in terms of its appearance. But it seems to be a shooter in which you're fighting against robots, and there seems to be this big mystery as to why the robots are running rampant, and how your player character is linked to that, and how they kind of discover that as the game unfolds. So I think this is one I'm definitely going to check out, because I mean, as I said, Half-Life 2, BioShock, they're among my favorite first person shooters of all time. So I mean, it would be criminal of me not to give it a go, given its inspirations.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Wolfenstein, maybe just like a bit of Wolfenstein, which sounds bad, but I do agree. I think if something is on purposely a throwback type game, I think it can work. Obviously, if your aim is to make a beautiful product and it looks a bit potato-y, that's a problem. But no, this certainly looked like it suited the almost, I don't know what's the word, deliberate, like slow-paced type shooting thing. Obviously, you see him looting and stuff like that, and it looked, what's the game? I don't think it's not online, obviously, but like you see games like Escape from Tarkov and stuff like that, where looting and being in a world and stuff like that, it just seems to add another dynamic to games. And if the story's good there, I think, I don't know, cross between Tarkov and Wolfenstein and a bit of Half-Life and stuff like that, as you say, it could be a sleeper game. I mean, it might not attract the general audience of what people are looking at nowadays, but it's certainly one that looked interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just say there's a difference between a game looking bad because of negligence on the developer's part and, you know, a chosen art style. I mean, there's plenty of first-person shooters on Steam that are horrendous looking and are just complete lazy development. But this, as we said, it's certainly showing its inspiration on its sleeve. And we've had that in the past with a lot of Doom clones, like a lot of games that have taken inspiration from Doom. But I don't feel we've seen it too much when it comes to other shooters. So for me, that's really intriguing. So I'll be very interested in seeing how it turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My next one, let me just try and get the pronunciation right. Lamentum? Thinks that's how you pronounce it.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's go with that. And if it is incorrect, do correct me. Lamentum, I said Castlevania-looking game. It was one where it was like a 2D thing, and he was on about curing his dying wife type thing. And it looked like a Castlevania setting of the series rather than the game. It just looked interesting to me. I think Normally, this event probably isn't tailored to something like me, but if there is something interesting in the art style and so on, this is probably my version of Source of Madness that you mentioned as your first one. The art style, and I like those. I like little dialogues and stuff like that. Like, it reminded me of, it was different art style. What's it called? What is that Square Enix game called that's on Switch? Octopath Traveler, that is the one. It kind of, I like games like that, and I need to go back on that. But yeah, this looked like interesting. Like, these types of games, like probably even the other ones we're going to, these, like, for me, are probably perfect on Switch. This is where I want Switch games, apart from Tinkertown, because I just want that everywhere. I think this one looked interesting. It'd be interesting to see if the story's quite deep or if the gameplay's fun, etc. But no, this one looked quite interesting to me.
Yeah, I actually almost included Lamentum on my own list, but I wanted to keep it down to 5. So I'm really glad you brought it up. It does look really interesting. I think almost if you kind of put a little bit of creepiness into it, but not like that not necessarily horror, like not that the focus is on the creepiness, but almost like the creepiness is a sideshow. I tend to really like it. So it caught my eye for that reason. So similarly, I'll be keeping an eye on it to kind of see when we get to see a bit more of it, possibly once it comes out, because it could well be one that I decide to play at some point.
Absolutely. And what's your next one?
So my next game is Zodiac Legion from Studio Draconis. It's like a tactical RPG. Looks very like the Banner Saga. And while watching the trailer, I was wondering if it was the next game as a follow-up to the Banner Saga. Turns out it's not. It's from a different studio. But the influence seems heavy here. I think it's stated that XCOM is a direct influence for the game, which is another great kind of tactical game. But I think that it screamed Banner Saga to me. I mean, obviously the Banner Saga is with Vikings, whereas this seems to be kind of with knights and wizards. But other than that, it seems very much a similar game in many ways, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, and if you can put a slight twist on an existing concept, it can often turn out to be a masterpiece of its own. So this is another one that I'll certainly be keeping my eye on.
Is there a story connected to this? I'm watching it in the background because I actually missed this once in a while. But is there a story connected to these games, or is it like just random dungeons and stuff like that?
I think like there's a loose story that, you know, you are the Zodiac Legion, and kind of something when people got careless, let's say, in the world, and therefore evil was allowed to run rampant type of thing, and now you've got to get out there and stop it. You know, it seems very loose story wise, but I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing with this kind of game, because they tend to be really gameplay focused, and
yeah,
you know, you often don't want to distract from that.
Yeah, I was just checking because it's that, like, me and my mate, before he had to go work overseas, we finished Divinity Sin 2, and we were playing Wasteland 3. Obviously, this kind of similar-ish. Probably they're more story-based than these, seemingly, but it'd probably be one we'd probably play if it ended. Most of these are probably Game Pass games, if they are to come to console. So yeah, if they ever do get in that situation, I'd probably play this type of thing.
Yeah, but potentially. I mean, Microsoft is certainly making waves to get a lot of more indie games on Game Pass. And I know there were some Xbox icons before some games in the showcase. So I'd imagine chances are they will be coming to Game Pass.
Lovely. It's probably all the ones I don't want. Oh, dear. my next one was Run Die Run Again, which I think they described as a survival platformer. I think I'm right in saying that. It looks similar. I can't remember the name of this bloody game. There was another one, I think it was the last E3. It was like, it was another one of these where it's like a first person platformer type thing, and he had abilities and stuff like that. Pretty sure it had Ninja in the title. I will look it up in a minute. But this one looked quite interesting, like, because I think there's platformers where they're obviously 2D side-on stuff. A first-person platformer thing, I've not really, outside of, like, Time Trials in Titanfall, not really something I've done with, but they do look interesting. They can be quite fun. I did the Titanfall 2 Time Trial quite a lot, and I was still bad at it. So stuff like that, if that's hashed out and done well, I quite like the idea of a game like that. It's just keeping them interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I think it was probably Ghost Runner that you were thinking of, because I got those vibes as well.
Where did I get Ninja from?
Yeah, he does look like a ninja, the character, so that's probably where it comes from. But no, I this game actually caught my eye as well. It kind of gave me Mirror's Edge vibes, and yeah, you know, I quite enjoyed Mirror's Edge. I can't remember at this point if I played the follow up or not. It's kind of a blur, but I certainly played the first game because I got it bundled with a replacement Xbox when my first Xbox 360 broke down. So, you know, it was free, of course. And I was gonna, well, free per se. Obviously, I could have chosen another game in the bundle. But it was a really enjoyable game, and it's just something different, you know, a game that's not necessarily combat based and is more kind of platform based and in a 3D setting rather than your traditional 2D platformer. So for the same reasons Mirror's Edge would have caught my eye way back when, this game caught my eye, because again, it's not really a focus we see for games still. It is a rarity, I think, when you see a first person 3D game, generally there's a lot of action involved.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your next one?
So my next game is Kraken Academy from Happy Broccoli Games. Love that studio name, by the way. So the developer who introduced this game indicated that it's Zelda Majora's Mask inspired and also 90s anime inspired, and it's an isometric action RPG that's focused around a school, seems to involve time travel to avert the end of the world at the hands of a giant kraken. There was a character in it that really gave me Master Roshi from Dragon Ball Z vibe, so we can see where that anime inspiration is coming from. And it just looks like a quirky idea for a game. And the graphic style, well, not necessarily unique, because we've seen a lot of similar games in recent years in terms of appearance. It still is one that's aesthetically pleasing for myself. So this is one that I think I'll definitely check out. I mean, did you catch the trailer for this one at all?
Yeah, and I just refreshed myself in the background while she was speaking as well, but I did watch it earlier. Yeah, I do like these types of games as well. Sometimes I think it's hard to make these types of games unique, but kind of what I said with Stardew and Tinkertown, I think the main hurdle is getting on that game. And then when you play it, it's like, this is the greatest thing ever. So if I ended up on that game, I'm sure as hell I'd enjoy it. So yeah, I kind of see the appeal. I think everyone played like probably 2D games like that, or 8-bit games like that when they were kids on like the Cartoon Network website and stuff like that. So yeah, I think games like that are a proper throwback. They really are. My next one, and I describe it as Little Monster Hunter, was called Ultra Age. This was kind of me struggling to find games I like because I didn't want to just come in here and just talk about yours. But no, I think this was one that I'd probably... It looked fun, but I mean, Devil May Cry, Monster Hunter type thing against big bosses, maybe getting a bit, if it's not a Monster Hunter, it might be getting a bit too oversaturated. But yeah, it looked interesting.
Yeah, that was actually my line of thought when I saw this one. I just feel that these kind of third-person action games, while at one point I would have loved for kind of more Devil May Cry type games because I do love that series, it just feels it's been overdone in recent years. And I think really when it comes down to it, you can kind of get your fix of these sort of games elsewhere with the likes of Monster Hunter and the like. But it certainly had a nice visual style to it, and you know, maybe it'll be a nice little bite-sized kind of offering of this genre, which could be interesting in terms of a smaller title.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of these games being too huge, so maybe if you want a bite-sized, or even if you before, hopefully there's another Monster Hunter World game at some point, and it maybe a bite-sized nice intro or something like that. What's your last one?
So my last game is Azure Striker Gun Vault 3. Now this is from Inti Creates. Now this is different than my other picks in that, like, obviously it's not a new game. It's a sequel. And it was actually announced back in March of this year, but it shows that even someone like me who checks gaming sites on the regular and follows a lot of gaming news Twitter accounts doesn't catch everything, because I wasn't aware that this had been announced. For those who are unfamiliar, the Azure Striker Gun Vault series is very much a Mega Man inspired series. Obviously Inti Creates worked on some of the later Mega Man games, and then they went on to create their own inspired series. So this is the third one in the series, and it's coming out later in the year, and as a fan of the series, I'll be certainly picking this up at some point.
Yeah, when I saw this, I was like, that's a Carl game. That's not a me game. That's one for Carl.
Yeah.
I didn't even like Mega Man type games when I was a kid, to be honest. So it's never one that's... maybe because I was shit at them. I think I put, what was it? Like them sites mini clip. I think it was one called Metal Slug or something like that. Fucking hated that game. But yeah, it was, if you like them types of thing, and if you're familiar with the series, obviously, check that out. The last one from me was, and I described this one as Feeding Frenzy on Mushrooms, Eternal Cylinder. It was the ones with the little alien things that evolved if they went to different areas and interacted with stuff. I just like Feeding Frenzy games. So yeah, that one tickled my interest. I'm going to actually Google this if it is on, because if it comes to console, I will be getting this, Eternal Cylinder.
I'm pretty sure it is coming to console, because I think this was revealed last year. It might have even been the previous year at E3. I know it was, it's been a while in the works. I remember, I think we talked about it back then when it was first revealed. Like, it's a cool idea. Like, we've seen, obviously, games with evolving monsters in the past, the likes of Spore and stuff, but
there's an Xbox symbol.
It was confirmed for PS4, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows when it was initially really announced. I think it might be a timed exclusive to the Epic Game Store as well, if I recall at the time, PC wise. But obviously survival games are quite popular these days, but this seems to take its own take on the genre, with you playing this weird alien creature who's just trying to survive on what appears to be a dying world.
Exactly.
So I think it's definitely one that catches the eye for me as well.
I'm so happy that's coming to Xbox. Deary me. But that is it. I mean, if you had any other favourites, do feel free to tweet us. We'll have a chat on Twitter, as we usually do. Or if you any of the things we mentioned, I'll just check them out, really. Carl, we do have news before we get into the rest of the E3 stuff we couldn't discuss last week because it wasn't scheduled or more infos came out about them. But we will do the news, and some of it is pretty self-explanatory, but there is info in there because you've knocked it up yourself. That's why the source is Carl Wilkinson. But first one, I mean, literally, about an hour and a half before we started the pod, Battlefield 2042 was revealed.
Yeah, so EA and developer DICE have revealed the next installment in the Battlefield franchise, Battlefield 2042. The title will see the series return to a futuristic setting for the first time since 2006's Battlefield 2142. The game is set to return to the series' roots, with the focus placed completely on multiplayer. The game will support 128 players on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and PC, and 64 players on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The game is set for release on October 22nd, and a gameplay reveal is set for June 13th. So what were your thoughts on the reveal?
It looked very Battlefield-y. and that is the only way to describe it. I think we mentioned it last week, or probably have in past podcasts that aren't 7 billion hours long, but I think we both agree, regardless how big Battlefield fans we are, I think Battlefield 1 was good. It was a nice way to go back. World War 1, I think that one actually was. But then Battlefield 5 was just a bit crap in comparison. Like, it wasn't as polished as Battlefield 1. It wasn't as good as Battlefield 1. And the World War 2 thing was getting... The World War thing was getting a bit stale. So, it's the right decision for them to go... Well, into the future, more than anything, pretty much modern day. And adding in that it's multiplayer only, I think if anyone who's played Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5, they did those, I can't even know what they call them, but they did the story things, which weren't really a campaign, they were like just a set little snippet of a campaign for different characters, wasn't it? Like, I enjoyed some of them, but I would just say I'd never really experienced it as a campaign, and I say that, I don't think I've ever finished a Battlefield campaign. I know people love the Bad Company campaign. I can't remember if it's 3 or 4, but 3, 1 or 3 or 4 is well-liked as well. But, I mean, what do you make of it just solely focusing on multiplayer? Because campaign did used to be a huge part of, not just Battlefield, but first-person shooters.
Yeah, I mean... With Battlefield, the first few games in the series, obviously Battlefield 1942, Battlefield Vietnam, I believe, Battlefield 2142, and possibly even the PC version of Battlefield 2. That one I'm unsure on. were all just multiplayer focused. I mean, that's what the series right. started out as. I mean, obviously that you had Medal of Honor, which was a similar series that had kind of campaigns and were very much trying to be the Saving Private Ryan of the video game world. But Battlefield was always focused on the multiplayer. And I mean, that's where I first got to grips with the series was with Battlefield 1942, which is a game I absolutely loved. And I love when they kind of released a bite-sized version as Battlefield 1943 on the Xbox Live Arcade back in the day on the 360. So I think really for Battlefield to switch to multiplayer only is less striking than when Call of Duty did it with Black Ops 4, I think.
I think
4, it was Black Ops 4.
Yeah, 4 was not Warzone. Blackout, that was it.
Because Call of Duty has always had a campaign, you know, ever since the first game back on the PC. Whereas, you know, as I said, Battlefield didn't. I think the first Battlefield game I recall playing that had a campaign was Battlefield Modern Warfare. I can't remember the subtitle, but it was effectively like the console port of Battlefield 2, which was set in modern times. And that is the first Battlefield game I recall having a campaign. Before that, they didn't. So it's not really a surprise, and I think it's a good move in terms of getting focused after, as you said, Battlefield 5 wasn't as well received as previous entries in the series. It's a shame in a way, as I quite enjoyed the vignettes of Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 2.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, that's what they're called, yeah. Of particularly Battlefield 1. And again, as you said, I really enjoy the campaigns of the Battlefield Bad Company series. And it's disappointing for me personally that the rumors about Bad Company coming back this year and it being Bad Company 3 didn't come to pass. As I said, it's where the roots are. It's not at all surprising to see them return to the roots. And it's nice that after they've stepped away from the World War settings. World War One was interesting because it hadn't really been done before, but World War Two has been done to death. And I think it's about time that we just leave that to kind of indie teams that want to do a very focused project.
And Call of Duty.
Yeah. Well,
Vanguard.
I'm sure we'll be talking about that maybe on the next podcast when more is real. But but at the same time, it's nice that they haven't taken the easy way out and gone straight back to the modern setting that we've seen in Battlefield 2, 3, and 4. I think as I said, only one Battlefield game has taken place in the future so far, which is 2142. That came out 15 years ago. It's about time that they return to the future. And this isn't even as far in the future. This is the near future. It's 21 years away. So it'll be kind of a mix of kind of technology we're used to and maybe some slight advancements on that, which is an interesting one. So, I'll be certainly checking this one out at some stage, particularly if it's rumored it's part of Game Pass. But I'm sure we'll know more about that after Xbox's showcase next week.
Yeah, and as you said in the reading, there is a gameplay reveal on the 13th, which, you know, is when Xbox is. So we'll probably see it then, as you say. I agree on the future thing. I think they've kind of timed it very well in terms of being close to the present, but it's not jetpacks and bullshit like that, which everyone didn't like in Call of Duty. Of course, just leave that to Titanfall, because they're the ones who do it well. Just state of what you know. So yeah, I think slightly in the future, I think we saw a robot dog type thing, if I remember correctly, in the trailer there. More planes and jets and stuff like that, and just get it spot on. And I agree, I've not really played Bad Company, so it would have been cool for me to play that. But at the same time, if they make this like an online portal thing where the can just keep updating it like they do with, I know it's not about battle royale thing, but if it is just an online portal, you can just get a team maintaining it, and then if you want to make the next installment more story based and then integrate the stuff into Battlefield 2042 or whatever, I think that can work. I think that's what COD are doing. When they put Cold War into Warzone, it didn't really work, but it might be easier to battle for Dice Games or Battlefront games. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with future installments, because if this is just the Battlefield Online for the near future, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. If they keep, and we know Dice Games, they always look fucking, like Battlefield 4 is probably one of the best looking first person shooters ever. It's a fucking gorgeous game.
Yeah, no, they always do it well when it comes to the visuals. And thanks for reminding me. Credit to them for not including a Battle Royale, because, you know, I'm getting sick of Battle Royales. Yeah. Just leave it to Fortnite and Call of Duty
and Halo. We
might see that next week. But, well, Sunday, rather. But, yeah, no, it's getting oversaturated. So just let it go and go back to your roots and focus on what you do best, Dice.
It's true. The one on, I don't even know if you played it, but there was one on Battlefield 5 and it was shit. It was proper shit.
Firestorm,
yeah. It was fucking awful.
That's what it was called, yeah.
It was awful.
I heard bad things.
Yes, it was not fun. Yeah, if they do add one, like, do it properly at least. But yeah, happy days. I like a bit, especially if there's fucking 128 people. It's going to be mental. I will read this next one. Deep Silver sets E3 expectations. Publisher Deep Silver set expectations ahead of parent company Koch Media's E3 showcase on June the 11th. They took to Twitter, "Our parent company Koch Media is making an announcement as part of Summer Game Fest on June 11th. To give you a heads up, you won't see Dead Island, Saints Row, Metro or Time Splitters." We kind of expect that one. "There or at any other E3 event. We'll let you know when we have news to share." I don't know what Koch Media are going to show then, Carl. I can't remember what we talked about last week.
But we talked all about Deep Silver and the studios they own, and what we could potentially see there. We talked about Saints Row and Metro in particular. And then they come out and say this. And while I'm happy for a company to set expectations, they probably shouldn't have to set expectations, but we know what the internet's like, particularly the video games side of the internet on Twitter and stuff. So people kind of can feel entitled to announcements, and when they don't get what they want, they'll complain. But I just wish they'd made the announcement before last week's show so that we didn't
We could have cut half an hour out the fucking show.
Yeah, so we didn't waste so much time talking about that. But, I mean, I don't know what they're going to announce. Could it be that Embracer has acquired another company and they're putting it under the Koch Media umbrella? True. Could it be that they're just moving one of the other companies under Koch Media? It's really hard to kind of make any kind of prediction on it. So I'm really intrigued by this one. You know, they must have something to say if they're doing something during E3. So I'm sure we'll all be tuned into this one to see what Koch Media have.
It does make it more interesting because it's a... They're kind of making it a big deal. Like they're obviously them, the Embracer Group, THQ Nordic, whatever the hell you call them. They're like the, except like Tencent, who are some like fucking overlord in the background. They're like the next big, not new, but improving in size, increasing in size, like publisher. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, there's not really anything we can talk about with, but it will be interesting to see what they show. Is it Friday? I don't know what day it is. Yes, it is Friday. So next one then, I mean, we can't even talk about that, but again, we can talk about this because it is another set of people not appreciating when we do our podcast, Carl.
Yeah, so once again, you know, we always appreciate a heads up. but it would have been nice to give it to us early, Ubisoft. The Division 2 and Division Heartlands to skip E3. The Division 2's official Twitter account let fans know that the game won't be making an appearance as part of Ubisoft Forward on June 12th. Quote, agents, we won't be at Ubisoft Forward this year, but we invite you all to tune in alongside us to hear the exciting announcements across other Ubisoft titles. The Division teams are still hard at work. New content for the Division 2 is on track for the end of the year, while Heartland will have additional tests available for players interested in signing up. We look forward to sharing more when we can. Thank you, Tom Clancy's Division teams. So it would have been nice to get it ahead of our Ubisoft preview, whereby we talked about Heartland as being what we thought and what I think a lot of the industry thought was nailed on for Ubisoft Forward and would have been the main focuses. But it's not. And in that sense, it's kind of intriguing.
We're getting Skull and Bones.
I mean, we'll talk about one of the games in a moment that's definitely going to be at Ubisoft Forward, but I don't think they're going to focus on just one game. And while we know their new team have a title that's set to be revealed according to reports, again, I don't think they'd have a presentation for two games. So that means there has to be one or two more things that we maybe had doubts over, or that there's rumors about that might actually be there. You know, I'm a little bit more confident that we might see, dare I say it, Guy, Splinter Cell.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Beyond Good and Evil. I was going to say,
that's dead.
But no, that's interesting. That was one of the things we discussed last week. I think we were quite clear that Ubisoft wouldn't do an event to reshow Far Cry, which they released last week, and Assassin's Creed DLC, which seems to be keep coming up in the news, so we presume that's going to be there. But is Assassin's Creed ready? Well, we discussed it last week, but we don't know if the next Assassin's Creed ready to show. Division's not going to be there. Who cares about the crew? Then we speculated stuff like Avatar and Star Wars, didn't we? But yeah, it's certainly more interesting. The closer to the event, the less we know. So that's good, apart from Xbox, which quite a lot of leaks and presumed stuff are there. But yeah, the Ubisoft one's full of intrigue that I still don't. Beyond Good and Evil, Skull and Bones will not be there. I just can't see them being there.
It might just be 40 minutes of Just Dance 2022, though, guys. We have to prepare ourselves for that.
I'd be game as fuck for that. Just a panda on stage for 40 minutes. Be clash. And then South Park at the end. And that'd be 10 out of 10 for a show. I mean, if this leads to a new South Park game, because it's got more scope now, I'm happy days with that. It's a big old trade-up for me.
Hopefully, that would be certainly what I would like to see. You know, even above Splinter Cell. But I guess we'll see on Ubisoft Forward is on Saturday. So,
yes,
not too long to go.
Not too long for the fans.
Speaking of Ubisoft and suggesting that games won't be at E3, do you want to read the next one, Guy?
Yes, this is a game we forgot existed, because I don't think we mentioned it last week. But Prince of Persia Sands of Time Remake is coming 2022. Prince of Persia Sands of Time Remake, which was delayed indefinitely back in February, is set to release sometime in 2022, but won't be making an appearance during Ubisoft Forward. The game's official Twitter account had the following message for the fans. Hello, Prince of Persia fans. Ubisoft Forward is around the corner, and we wanted to use this time to thank you for the amount of support you've shown us in the past year. As you might have already read, Prince of Persia Sands of Time Remake will not be in Ubisoft Forward. We are making great progress for our game to release next year, but we are not ready to share any additional info just yet. We will share an update as soon as we are ready. Until then, we wanted to express our appreciation for your continuous support, as well as your patience with us on our journey. We are looking forward to the moment when we are able to share more with you, the dev team. I don't really have much of an opinion, because I've never really played Prince of Persia. I think I dabbled a smidge when I was a proper kid. But this doesn't really mean much to me, but this was meant to be out like March. This was February. This was Ubisoft's March spot, was it? Or spring spot, wasn't it? For their games. So it's a long delay.
Yeah, so I purposely left this game out last week when we were previewing Ubisoft Forward because I just had low expectations for it appearing because the game just seems to be in some form of developmental hell. I mean, it was first, I think, supposed to come out in January and then got delayed till March. And then in February, they announced that it was delayed indefinitely. And to me, it's strange because, you know, we talked about remakes and remasters on a recent show a few weeks ago. And I think with the exception of a few certain games, like maybe Final Fantasy VII Remake and the Mass Effect trilogy, you know, remakes and remasters rarely get kind of a large focus on them. I mean, I don't think Mass Effect got that much of a focus. No, it was announced and then they just kind of quietly worked on it.
Mm.
And this game, though, definitely was given the spotlight. And they talked about in a past presentation how one of their new studios out in India, I forget which of the Indian Ubisoft studios it was one of the two, is working on this game. And it was given such a focus and it seemed to be a big thing for Ubisoft. And I guess that's because people have long wanted Prince of Persia to come back. But then ever since then, it's just been bad news. And I think it's really unfortunate that they gave it such a highlight and something that other remakes don't really get too often. And yet it's struggling, and it's just a real shame because, I mean, we talked about when this game was first revealed, you know, my brother was a big fan of Prince of Persia games, and he'd have them here in the house, and I'd kind of dabble in them, and I played a few hours of each of them, and they are enjoyable games, and ones that I've always kind of contemplated going back to. So I was really intrigued by this remake, but I'm starting to doubt, you know, when it'll come out, and, you know, when it does, what kind of state will it be in?
Yeah, it's a good point about how much highlight it got. I mean, even Demon's Souls, which was obviously a huge launch game for the PS5, that was kind of just dropped at their launch event. It wasn't really built up that I can remember. It just like, boom, here's this fucking beautiful game. Whereas this, got a year long, like, got not its own event, but it got a big place in an event. It's got quite a lot of stories surrounding it. And now it's, what, 3 delay or 2 delays and they're fucking not happening for a while. So yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, is it worth, maybe this is probably one for someone who is a Prince of Persia fan, but is it really worth the effort for a Prince of Persia game? I think if you look at the Ubisoft umbrella, I think even just from the little bits and bobs I've played and how people react to their IP, I'm sure most people would want, if not a Splinter Cell, a new Splinter Cell game, they'd rather have remakes of old Splinter Cells than Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it seemed an odd one to give it so much focus, and now I'm sure they are completely regretting it, given how the game is struggling to make it out, basically. So it'll be interesting to see if kind of we maybe see something of this game, sort of almost a re-announcement later in the year, if they do another Ubisoft Forward in the fall, and then if it does indeed make a 2022 release.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it does for people who do like the series, but it just doesn't really bother me at all. But take your time. Fuck it. Who cares? As long as it's good when it's out. If a game gets delayed and it's shit, that's when you get into Cyberpunk situations. Don't do that. Learn from Cyberpunk. Just keep delaying. It'll annoy people, but they'd rather play a good remake that's taken a while than a very shit game. Well, I enjoyed Cyberpunk, but another time. Do you want to read this next one? Rainbow Six?
Yeah, so now to a game that will be at Ubisoft Forward, Rainbow Six Quarantine, renamed Rainbow Six Extraction. Ubisoft has revealed that the next Rainbow Six title will be Rainbow Six Extraction. The game was previously announced as Rainbow Six Quarantine, but the publisher confirmed earlier this year that the game would be renamed due to the unfortunate association of the word quarantine with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The game is set for a full reveal at Ubisoft Forward on July 12th. So we talked about this game last week, Guy. We were just kind of intrigued to know what it's going to be called, and we were pretty confident that we'd see it at Ubisoft Forward. So I'm not sure there's too much more to say on this one. But I mean, what do you think in general of the new title?
Yeah, it's something. They would have done all their focus groups and research. They picked Quarantine for a reason. Is Quarantine and Extraction the same? Not really. Should have whacked a thesaurus up and went fucking different words. Yeah, it's not really, unless the game like has no extraction in it at all. We don't know anything about whether the name fits or whatever, but we've seen films that have Quarantine in it. They get a boost up. They might have dodged a bullet and then jumped straight into a fire or something. This could have been money. Who knows?
Yeah, I think we'll certainly have to see more of the game before we see kind of how the title fits in. I do recall people weren't, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but I remember the code name that came out when around the time it was first announced that it was getting renamed. People didn't like it all. I can remember thinking it wasn't the best myself, so at least it wasn't that. That's about all we can say for now. Do you want to read the next story?
Yep, save the embarrassing Xbox One for me. I see what you've done here. The medium rating for PS5. This is from, how do you pronounce that, Salska?
Gamatsu and
Sal Romano, yeah. From The Jokers on Comedy Central. The Entertainment Software Rating Board has rated Bloober Team developed third-person psychological horror game, The Medium, for PS5 and Xbox Series. The Medium first launched digitally for Xbox Series and PC via Steam and Microsoft Store in January, as well as via Xbox Game Pass. Back in March, distributor Koch Media announced plans to publish a physical edition of The Medium, but did not mention platforms. So, does that mean Xbox don't have a single exclusive now?
I can't speak too much for kind of smaller indie titles, but in terms of kind of more notable titles, I guess not once this comes out, at least not till Halo launches. I mean, it's not really a big deal in the sense that this is a great get for PS5, because let's be honest, well, it got some good reviews. There were a lot of mediocre reviews of this game.
Yeah, it was like 7 out of 10 on it, 6 out of 10-ish, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're about, and a lot of kind of YouTubers and that I'd listened to their podcast seemed completely bored by this game, to put it lightly. You know, then some would go as far to say nothing happens in the game. It's just basically walking around at a slow pace.
It doesn't look like a walking sim.
Which is a shame, given that I was really kind of into the early previews for this game. But once I read those reviews, it kind of completely put me off of playing this one. But it's interesting in the sense that this happens to be the one notable exclusive for the Xbox, and it's soon not to be exclusive. But who knows, by the time this comes out, Halo might already be here?
I'm going to go with no. Jesus Christ, the Medium is probably going to be better than Halo by the state of it. Yeah, I don't think the fact that Medium is going to PS5 is a story. It's just the fact the only Xbox exclusive is going to Sony. It's just a bit daft. But we know that Xbox kind of screwed the pooch in terms of exclusives last gen, and now it's carrying over to this gen, and then the pandemic and stuff. And Halo did a good job of fucking the launch. Well done, 343 again. Yeah, it as long as they really have to dial it up to 11 with the third party stuff on Game Pass, and we'll hopefully see that with Battlefield. And there's that anime game that's rumoured to be on there, even though I think they denied it the other day, but might change, who cares? Yeah, we're going to talk, well, I might as well talk about it now, because I don't really put any detail in it. I just saw, like, you see stuff like Ratchet and Clank's getting fucking amazing reviews, Returnal got amazing reviews, I mentioned Demon's Souls earlier, Insomnia just seemed to knock out fucking 9 out of 10 like it's a piece of piss, which probably is to them. Good job, Xbox, fucking them up. Ratchet and Clank, it's probably not one I'd pick up, but obviously it's on your console, Carl. We mentioned when the PS5 event first was, that was probably the most next-gen-y looking game, and the reviews certainly seem to hint at that as well.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to play it myself yet. I mean, the Ratchet & Clank 2016 is still on my backlog, as I've mentioned before on the show, but I'd like to get to the both of them eventually. And as you said, it's come out to very positive reviews, just as Spider-Man Miles Morales did and Spider-Man before it. And I think the odd person maybe questioned Sony buying Insomniac at the time, because Insomniac didn't really come with any IP. And well, that's a fair point. I think they've proven them to be wrong at this point, because I mean, this is just a top notch studio. They are one of the best studios in the business.
Where would you say they are now? I mean, Naughty Dog's probably at the throne. Project Red were up there, but Cyberpunk was a mess. It must be Sony's probably got the fucking best, like, four out of the top five in the world, if not all five. Must be like second to Naughty Dog now. It's just releasing banger after banger.
In terms of my personal take, I probably would place them there. But I think most people would have them top five in the world at the moment, which says it all. I mean, they are a top notch studio, and I mean, everything they touch just seems to be gold at the moment. So I'm not even surprised that this game is getting positive reviews. To be honest, I was completely expecting eights and nines and even the odd 10 out of the gate, and that's what we're seeing.
I'm trying to think of my top five. It might be a pod, that. Rockstar, Naughty Dog, Insomnia. Yeah. That's probably about it.
I think that could definitely be a pod, so yeah, we'll save that for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was just... well done, Insomniac, and I can't wait to get to this game in the... probably the far-flung future, if I'm being honest. But
I hope it happens.
Yeah, this is it. I hope it happens at some point. There's a couple of little other tidbits that you picked up just before the show, because we have a tendency to miss bits of news kind of that happened during the show or just before it. Overwatch crossplay beta coming soon. PC players will, as Guy put it, batter console players, and that's fair, probably will happen. But it's nice to see crossplay coming to kind of like a AAA title other than your kind of your Fortnite and your Rocket League.
Yeah, it really is. And obviously Overwatch 2, hopefully we get a release date on this event, but seemingly be 2022 at the best. But yeah, I think people have been asking for this because I've recently gone back on Overwatch, and obviously it's not a struggle getting the game, but when it's in its lull period, when there isn't events and stuff on, trying to get a gaming Overwatch, especially if you're a DPS player, which I aren't, but sometimes you can be waiting, like when I watch streamers and stuff like that, they're waiting 10 minutes to get a game, and you've kind of... The only problem is, as I'm jokingly put, PC players will batter console players, they just will. But if you can balance that out somehow, or maybe even just make it quick play only, which probably won't fix the rank situation, but if you can get them queue times down to like a couple minutes rather than 10 minutes, obviously this is like a game that's 4 or 5 year old now, but increasing the player base, I think it'll just help getting the game. But if you get a quick play, I don't see, there's no reason why PlayStation and Xbox certainly can't play together. Switch, I'm sure the game is a bit potato-y, so that might be tough. But it's just balance. Games like these are just very tough to balance console to PC, because PC, you just watch them do madness. Then I try and do it on console, and it's like, oh, I'm bad. But no, it's just the limitations. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they balance a game like that. But it's certainly going to be interesting to see how it affects Overwatch 2, but we'll see. Last bit of news before we can get into, like, we'll call it Preview 2, but it's kind of Preview 1.5. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is getting next-gen update Friday. I think this leaked, if I remember correctly, I should have noted this down. It leaked from retailers getting physical copies of PS5 ones. And then I think it got reported that it will come out Friday. I mean, I think we've... Did you play this? I'm sure you did.
No. Oh. It's one of the games that's...
How big's your
pretty much
backlist?
At the top of my backlog. Well, you
jeez, I suppose you've only just played Horizon, haven't you?
But yeah, it's certainly one that I want to jump on soon, because I love me a Star Wars game, and it's one I've just got to get, you know, I'm kind of in a weird place in terms of where my games are, and it can be a pain to kind of get at them, which is probably why I just keep playing the same things over and over again. But this is one I certainly want to get in on very soon, because the reputation it has, and it being a Star Wars game, what's not to love? And obviously with it being a next gen version, it gives me even more reason to play it. I think it's a bit odd that they're doing a next-gen version, given that they released a 60 FPS update for this game not so long ago. So I'm not sure why they're not just leaving it at that, but, you know, no complaints here. It's going to be an even better version of the game to play. I'm going to play that.
Yeah, it's happy days for you if you've not played it. I mean, I'm not sure I'd go back. Maybe one day. But it's not... Considering last year nothing came out, it's still probably one of the newest games I've bloody played. So yeah, I'd eventually go back, but not anytime soon, I think. But yeah, the higher quality version of a game you can play it, but job on, crack on. It's good stuff. So yeah, if you've not played that, I think it'll probably be free, so it'll be in Game Pass Ultimate via EA.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, play and stuff like that. It probably won't be full price on PlayStation. So yeah, just check that out. So Carl, we have new info about E3, and that is pretty much why we're doing the podcast, and we're doing this as an hour into it, but this shouldn't, touch wood, shouldn't take a huge amount of time.
Hopefully. No promises. Yeah, so obviously last week we went through a very patchwork E3 schedule because there was a few shows that were yet to be announced, and there's been a few surprise ones announced since. So I'll quickly run through the updated and what we'd expect to be the final schedule. Obviously, some events have already taken place. The day one of the Guerrilla Collective was on the 5th, and the Battlefield reveal was today on the 9th. So starting tomorrow, we have June 10th, which is the Summer Game Fest at 6 p.m. our time. That we had a chat about last week, so give that a listen if you haven't already. June 11th, we have the Koch Primetime Gaming Stream at 8 p.m. As we said, we have no idea what it's going to be about, so that's intriguing. We have the IGN Game Expo at 9 p.m. June 12th, we have the Guerrilla Collective Day 2 at 4 p.m. We have the Wholesome Direct at 6 p.m. Ubisoft Forward at 8 p.m. Again, we covered that last week, so give it a listen. We have Devolver Digital at 9:30 p.m. I'm sure there'll be a lot of blood and guts and crazy fake CEOs. What's her name? Nina? Oh, I can't think of her name, but it's always a good laugh. We have Gearbox at 10 p.m., which is something we weren't aware of last week, so we'll be having a look at that in a moment. We have Upload VR Showcase at 11 p.m. on the 13th. We have Xbox and Bethesda Game Showcase at 6 p.m. Again, that was covered last week. We have the Square Enix Showcase at 8:15 p.m., which we'll be covering today. We have Warner Bros. At 10 p.m. We have PC Gaming Show 10:30 p.m. And then on June 14th, we have the Future Game Show at 12 a.m. Bit of a late one there.
Have fun.
Take-Two Interactive at 6:15 p.m., Razer at 10 p.m., and Capcom at 10:30 p.m., and then on the final day, we'll have Nintendo, on the 15th, we'll have Nintendo at 5 p.m., Bandai Namco at 10:25 p.m., that's a very precise time, and we'll have the GameSpot Play for All Showcase at 11:35 p.m., so it's a jam-packed 6 days of E3 there. So we'll jump in at the earliest one we haven't discussed yet of note, Gearbox. There was the 2K leak, which we'll be talking about soon, and as part of that there was the Borderlands spin-off title Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. But other than that, and we could potentially see that at the Take-Two show rather than at Gearbox's show themselves, I'm wondering if this is where we're going to see what comes next after Borderlands. Like, what will be Gearbox's first title under Embracer since their takeover? Is that what you're expecting, Guy?
Yeah, it'd be interesting because, as I mentioned, Embracer, whatever the hell name they want to go by, they're improving, and the Gearbox acquisition it's kind of... It wasn't made a big... Maybe it's because we just didn't do a podcast around that time, but it wasn't really huge, huge news, was it? I mean, we had Codemasters going to EA around the same time, didn't we? But yeah, it'd certainly be their first platform to make a big statement, and not sure what it'll be. I think, obviously, the leaks there, we can... If you're trying to go in blind... Probably don't listen to a preview podcast, but these are leaks, so these will probably be there. So I'll give you 5 seconds, and then we're going to talk. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, Carl, yeah, I think there will be a big game there. Going off the leaks, that might be the Marvel one, but we'll get into a sec. But, I mean, Tiny Tina's Wonderland leak. I think we've seen side projects from Borderlands before. It was the pre-sequel, wasn't there? We obviously had the Telltale games. So these do sell. And obviously Borderlands 3 is kind of still getting support that we mentioned on last week's preview that we mentioned the probably DLC there. So yeah, half sequel, half game type thing. It'll always pique my interest because Borderlands games are just always fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's been reports that confirm that Borderlands 4 is in the works. as well, and suggestions that we might not see as much in terms of DLC for Borderlands 3 as we did with Borderlands 2, because their focus is on what comes next. But I still think that'll probably be a few years off, which is why it doesn't surprise me that there's a spin-off game, particularly one that focuses on a character that tends to be quite popular with the fans. The last Borderlands spin-off title per se, you know, the pre-sequel, probably was the least well-received game in the series. So I suppose there is potentially that risk there, but I'm sure lessons were learned, and I'd be surprised if this game isn't a popular one when it finally releases. So I'll be interested in seeing this one, and particularly to see, is it, you know, a Borderlands game? Like, is it a first-person shooter, or is the genre tilted somewhat? You know, kind of some changes there, something fresh. That's what I'll be interested in seeing. As I said, my expectation is that, you know, while it might appear during Gearbox's, you know, what I assume will be a short presentation, that the focus will be mostly on that game will be for Take-Two's presentation, which I'm sure will feature a lot of games. So I know I could be wrong, but I'm fully expecting that we'll see something new from Gearbox during this presentation, and for that reason I'm excited to see what's next.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Gearbox is always one that just, I don't think they do loads, do they, but what they do is usually good.
Well, there was that game that ended up in bargain bins after a month.
Oh, the 1v4 monster thingy.
No, that wasn't them. That was Turtle Rock. What is it called? One second, I'll get it for you. I actually have a copy of it somewhere because I bought it for like €2 in a bargain bin. Because why not? I was curious. It is. The game I am referring to is...
I was thinking of Evolution. That's what I was
Battleborn.
Thinking. Oh, yeah, that was shit. Yeah. I paid 50 quid for that bastard.
Oh, my God. It came out around the same time as Overwatch, and Overwatch just ate it alive.
I was more excited for Battleborn.
Well,
fuck me.
Well, to be fair, you're probably just a fan of Borderlands, as most of us were. And I was similar. I was cool to see Gearbox doing something different.
Maybe it's Battleborn coming back.
Just didn't work out. But hopefully this time when they do something different, it works out. That's all we can really say. But I'm definitely intrigued to see what they have in store.
That's true. I mean, if they remake Battleborn, I'll be there again. but yeah, we'll do the 2K one after. What's the next one?
So next up is the Square Enix showcase. So there's four things that are confirmed for this. There's Eidos Montreal's new title. Obviously, their last title was 2018 Shadow of the Tomb Raider. We have there's going to be some Marvel's Avengers updates. Babylon's Fall from Platinum Games is finally coming back. If you remember, that game was first announced.
That's a PlayStation exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was first announced at E3 2018. Yeah. Not last E3, last E3 before, 3 years ago, and we've barely heard anything since. I think at the time it was a PS4 exclusive. Mm. Presumably now it's going to be a PS5 exclusive. So it's cool that PS5 is getting another exclusive, and then it's another sign, obviously, of Square Enix being quite friendly with Sony. Yes. I mean, we'll talk about another couple of those games that might be there that are further examples of that shortly. But I mean, this. To me, I love Platinum Games. They're one of my favorite developers, and I'm not saying they're flawless. They've had some questionable titles, but I mean, thinking back, like Mad World, Bayonetta, Vanquish. I mean, Platinum Games were just knocking it out of the park. So when I saw that they were teaming up with Square Enix once again, obviously previously they developed Nier Automata, I was really excited. And then they just went completely quiet. So I'm glad that this game is confirmed to be resurfacing, because I was starting to worry that it was just going to be another Platinum Games title that was cancelled, like Scalebound. I was devastated when Scalebound was cancelled. So I'm really happy that this game yet lives.
Oh, they did Scalebound. They're probably busy trying to get that republished somewhere. So you're happy with them. I'm sure I heard rumours they keep trying to do that. Do we know any details about the Montreal title?
No.
I
think it's confirmed it's not a Tomb Raider title, and right. It's unlikely to be a Deus Ex title because that series is still on hiatus. So it could be a new IP. I believe there were rumours in the past that they were working on a Guardians of the Galaxy game, but that was quite a while back, so I don't know if that project has since been canned or moved to another studio or whatever the case might be.
The bullet point after that one may stop any Marvel games with Square Enix, considering Avengers was so shit. But yeah, I think Montreal's track record's quite good, so again, that Guardians of the Galaxy game would be fun. But we'll see. Rumoured then, leak again. 5 seconds. You know they just know. You won't be if you weren't interested. Final Fantasy Origin leak. Is this the one that's a Souls-like game?
Yeah, so this is coming from Team Ninja, which is interesting. It's always interesting when we see Square Enix working with not just an external developer, but an external publisher as well, because Team Ninja belong to Bandai Namco. Because Team Ninja are the team behind the Ninja Gaiden and the Neo series. And this seems like similar to Neo being kind of a Souls-like. It seems to, the rumors suggest that Final Fantasy Origin is a Souls-like action game set in the world of the very first Final Fantasy game. I think it's supposed to be a prequel to the first Final Fantasy game. So it's cool to see them returning to that. There's actually rumors that you will play as the bad guy from Garland from the first Final Fantasy. So that's pretty cool. I think it's I'd be pretty confident that this one is true and that we will see it at E3. So I'm pretty excited to see this one, being the big Final Fantasy buff that I am, and a big fan of Team Ninja as well. Would this one be one for you at all, Guy?
Well, I presume it'll be a PlayStation exclusive, so fucking no. I'm sure I heard that. Isn't all Final Fantasy stuff PS5 timed exclusive, at least?
Well, I mean, thus far, obviously Final Fantasy VII Remake and its expansion since Integrate are both timed exclusive for PlayStation, as is Final Fantasy 16. So it wouldn't surprise me if this is also a timed exclusive. But at the same time, we've seen Square Enix making some deals with Microsoft recently. A lot of the Final Fantasy games are on Game Pass. Octopath Traveler came to Xbox after Nintendo. It's still not on PlayStation. It was straight into Game Pass. So it wouldn't surprise me if we start to see some of these games announced for Xbox as well, and maybe this could be the first
straight into Game Pass as well.
Yeah, of course. So I wonder if we'll potentially get some updates on Outriders and during this showcase, given how well it's done.
True. Then possible you've bullet pointed Final Fantasy 16, which we obviously saw at PlayStation. Well, that was the console one, wasn't it? So that was last winter or early winter, I should say. Dragon Quest 12 and Forspoken. I mean, Final Fantasy we obviously saw, we've discussed it. If you like the new Final Fantasies, you'll be interested in this, especially if you're a Sony fan.
Yeah, I mean, we know a lot about Final Fantasy 16 at this point. Obviously, it's a PlayStation exclusive. It's coming from the team behind Final Fantasy 14. So we know they're a very competent team. I mean, it'll just be nice to get another look at it. and maybe even a release window, given that it's been a while since it was announced. Hopefully this is not another Final Fantasy game that takes years to finally launch. We don't want to see another one slip into developmental hell.
But you say that, isn't the exclusivity like 2 years to Xbox? So I'll be waiting 2 years longer than you guys.
That's true. So then even more so, you don't want it to take 10 yeah. years to come out, because it'd be 12 years for you.
17 would be out by then. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, speaking of Final Fantasy 16, obviously that's the next game in one of Square Enix's pillar RPG series, but the other one is of course Dragon Quest, and Dragon Quest 12 was revealed recently at the Dragon Quest anniversary event, alongside a rake of other Dragon Quest titles. And Dragon Quest 3 is getting a remake. Dragon Quest 10, the MMORPG, is getting an offline version, which may be the first version of that game to launch in the West. And there's also another Dragon Quest spin-off title coming out. But obviously Dragon Quest XII was the biggest of the announcements, but it was the least information we were given was in regards to Dragon Quest XII. So I think we could see more on that, at least a trailer during this E3 presentation. And then speaking of timed exclusives for the PlayStation, Forspoken is another one that I wouldn't be surprised to see pop up.
This is the fucking project thingy. Yeah,
Project That.
I completely forgot
Project That. Yeah,
I forgot it was until I googled it.
We've seen
shorty bastard.
we obviously seen a trailer for that. We saw a trailer for that during the last Square Enix showcase. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that reappear again, and then we could maybe even get a release date if we want to be greedy on that one. So that's another one I'd be confident in seeing. But I think what you can say for Square Enix is they never fail to surprise you. You know, you can never completely predict their showcases. There's always one or two games you weren't expecting. So again, I'd be expecting the unexpected from Square Enix. There will be a surprise or two, and that's what you want at these showcases at the end of the day. If we could completely predict what we're going to see, what would be the fun in that?
Exactly. And that is at 8:15 UK time on the 13th. Yeah, should be good. Hopefully, there's what they did a couple of years ago where they showed everything, then just copied it the week of the day after. Warner Bros. It looks like they're probably having a half an hour show, and for good reason, considering the news that came out. There'll be no Hogwarts Legacy, no Gotham Knights, and Suicide Squad. We kind of expected the last two because they'll probably be at DC FanDome, which I think I said was in October. Not Left for Dead. Are you? Yeah. Eh?
Back for Blood.
I prefer my name.
Yeah, I mean, it was a funny one, this one, because Warner Bros. Announced they'd be doing a showcase, and I think people instantly got excited and thought we were going to get a big blowout on Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad and Hogwarts Legacy. And then quickly Warner Bros. Poured cold water on that and said that none of those games would be appearing, although we discussed this last week anyway, that it had already been confirmed that Hogwarts Legacy wouldn't be appearing, and you and I both had major doubts on Suicide Squad appearing. And so thought maybe we might get a little glimpse of Gotham Knights, but nonetheless none of that will be there at all, and the focus will be completely on Back for Blood, which comes out later this year. I mean, I know people are really excited about this one. A lot of people were huge Left 4 Dead fans. We talked about it a lot at the time of the game's announcement. And I'm certainly intrigued by it. I mean, my friends and I have been looking for a game like this to play for a while. We talked about maybe trying out Warhammer Vermintide or Warhammer Vermintide 2, which are very similar games. So this well could be the one that we end up picking up and playing together, and I do have fond memories of messing around with the Left 4 Dead demo when it first came out back on the 360 days. So I'm certainly intrigued by this one. What about you, Guy? This certainly seems like something that you're likely to play with your mates.
Yeah, I definitely play it. I know it is made by the same people who did Left 4 Dead, isn't it?
Yeah, the same team, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just recapturing that magic, because I played a lot more of Left 4 Dead 1 than Left 4 Dead 2, so maybe it should have been one and done. I'll play it, but I think it's hard for games like them to recapture the magic, because Left 4 Dead 1 was just like perfect in like its imperfect way, if that makes sense. So I'll try it, I'll enjoy it, I just don't think it'll be one that I don't think it'll be able to get the cult following Left 4 Dead did. Which may be a shame. Might be a better game, who knows. But I'll definitely play it. And I think there is rumours it might go Game Pass, but that's a long way away. Or it makes sense for it to go Game Pass.
That's really all we can say on that one, really. It's going to be Left 4 Dead. I'm even calling it Left 4 Dead. Back for Blood. And as we say, it'll be interesting to see more of the game. And that is at the list in front of me at the moment. So 10 PM on the 13th. So next up is Take Two Interactive, which is at 6:15 on June 14th. And again, we expect this to largely focus on 2K, given the recent leaks. We knew that 2K was a partner at E3, so we talked a little bit about them in regards to Summer Game Fest last week and talked about what we expect to see there. And we talked about potentially Borderlands DLC and WWE 2K 2022, and how we would really like to see either the new BioShock game or basically just the new BioShock game. But since then there has been a couple of leaks in regards to 2K, and I think this is what we're going to see at Take-Two Interactive showing. NBA 2K22 from Visual Concepts. Obviously, that's an obvious one that comes every year. As we spoke of before, so we won't stick on that one for too long. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands from Gearbox. Obviously, 2K are the publishers of the Borderlands series, even though they don't own Gearbox. We kind of guessed this and didn't, in that we predicted DLC for Borderlands 3. It's a spin-off game. Much of a muchness in the grand scheme of things.
We'll call it.
Yeah, so we're not surprised at all by this one. But a couple of things that are interesting from this leak. Firstly, codename Coda from Firaxis. There had been talk that Firaxis' next game would be revealed soon, and people wondered if it was going to be another XCOM game. It's certainly a strategy game, but it's not XCOM. This is supposed to be a Marvel themed strategy game similar to XCOM. What's your take on this one? I mean, there is obviously the Ultimate Alliance 3 on the Switch, which is a Marvel game that's an RPG, but this is real heavy tactical based. Do you think it's a good fitting for a Marvel game?
Yeah, I think it'll work. I think it depends how you do it, really. I mean, can you put 4 and stuff into games like that? Maybe not. But Black Widow, Hawkeye, even people like Iron Man, I suppose, but that might be a bit too limiting. But I just think it works. And obviously, the XCOM games are a king of that genre as well, so it's a perfect fit. If anyone can make it work, it'll be them. If you can get an interesting story and it kind of works as well, I'd play it. Like, I've dabbled a little bit in games like that. I think Gears Tactics reviewed quite well. Obviously similar genre, but obviously different company. So there is obviously a market for tactical games like these. So whacking Marvel in one by the king, the people who make this game the best, just makes sense. Why not? I'll play it.
Me too, to be fair. And I mean, if Ubisoft can take Mario and the Rabbids and put them in this kind of game, and people absolutely adored that game, there's some people who argue it's still the best game on the Switch. That says it all. I mean, the people who enjoy these games, and I'd count myself among them, although XCOM kicks my ass, I can only ever get so far in that game before I just become completely stuck. Hands up, I'm just not good enough at XCOM, but I still nonetheless play them and enjoy them. So I'd definitely be checking this one out. And the other leaked project is Codename Vault from Hangar 13, obviously the developers of the Mafia series, the most recent game anyway, Mafia 3. This is described as Saints Row meets Cthulhu. It's, you know, a lot of these kind of sandbox third-person games, the Mafia games, GTA, Saints Row, you know, while they're all great games, they're a little samey in a way. So it sounds like this game is going to take a twist on that genre, and that really intrigues me because I'm a big fan of the genre. So this is one that really, even before I see it, I feel like I'm probably going to pick it up.
I mean, just who thinks describing a game as Cthulhu meets Saints Row? Come on. Just that alone deserves money. I just hope it is good, because I quite enjoyed Mafia 3. It was a bit... the open world was a bit empty, but if they can fix stuff like that and it's fucking mental, happy days. Happy days for me. That's probably not one I'm most looking forward to with the whole of E3, but when you describe a game like that, it's one that you kind of want. I want that to be good, because it'll be fucking mental. That's what I want.
I'm right there with you on that one. I mean, they're a good developer. Mafia 3 was a solid title, so I'll be very interested to see kind of where they're going to take this new project, because it's nice to see people take a risk with a genre, you know, because Criminals is just been done to death. So it is really refreshing to see someone step away from that.
Speaking of done to death.
Yeah.
Rockstar, GTA 5 next gen. I mean, Skyrim might be there. We'll see. It won't be. I hope it won't be. But GTA 5 next gen, I mean, this game's what? Spanned three fucking generations of console now. We need a new one, lads.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, obviously we can't confirm yet whether Rockstar are going to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Take-Two Interactive. The only reason I suggest it potentially could be because it's been announced as a Take-Two Interactive showcase rather than a 2K. Showcase. So with that in mind, Rockstar obviously are the other main body under Take-Two. I mean, if Rockstar are there, I'd love it to be a new game. Not even GTA. I'm not even holding out for GTA 6. I doubt that's coming anytime soon. But yeah, like a Bully follow-up.
Ping-pong.
Yeah, I'd even take that. Just something different from Rockstar. Yeah. Something that's not Red Dead or GTA. And I love Red Dead and GTA. But it would just be nice to see something different from them. Because it feels like it's been a really long time. But I mean, I think GTA 5... and its next gen update are probably the safer bet.
Yeah.
As much as it pains me to admit it, we probably are gonna have to sit through, you know, what we've effectively seen in the past. But hopefully if that is the case, it only makes up a small part of the showcase, and the focus is on these 2K games, particularly the latter two we discussed. I'm still holding out hope for BioShock. Even if it's just a title card at the very end of the presentation, I take it at this point.
Just the name. The name will do. The hype train starts with a name.
So this is it. Exactly. So as we said, you can catch Take-Two Interactive at 6:15 PM on June 14th. Next up on June 14th as well is Capcom at 10:30 PM. Now, there's some confirmed by Capcom when they announced their showcase. The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is releasing on July 27th, will be there. Monster Hunter Stories 2, releasing July 9th, will also be there. Monster Hunter Rise updates and also what's next for Resident Evil Village will all be covered. I'm not sure we have too much to say on those games because we either haven't played them or, you know, we know what they're all about at this point.
I don't even know what the top one is.
Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, you know, the, you know, Objection! You know, the game, it's, it was on DS and 3DS. It's like a, it's a kind of funny comedy kind of law game. It's they're supposed to be top notch. I've just never really gotten around to trying the series myself. But what is fun to talk about is the possibilities, and I think Capcom is particularly fun because of a certain hack that we discussed a few months back, and which leaked their lineup. Now the first game that I could potentially be possible wasn't part of that leak because it was something that was revealed previously last year. I think it was last year's E3 with a 2022 release, which was Pragmata, which was the weird game with the spaceman that people felt gave Kojima vibes. But it's not a Kojima game. You know, at the time, 2022 felt a long time away, but now 2022 is next year. So, do you think we'll see this one pop up? Because we haven't really heard anything about it since then.
I don't see why. The only reason I'd be in doubt is obviously it was a PlayStation's thingy, wasn't it? So maybe they have the marketing rights for it, obviously. But if you're going to market a game, you want it at E3. So with Sony not being there, and Capcom being there, why not?
Exactly. I mean, there was never any confirmation that it was an exclusive to Sony. It's just they put it on their stage. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Capcom put it back out there on their own stage. But again, we know very little about the game other than it looks weird. So I'm intrigued by that fact alone. So I hope it does resurface. But games that were covered in this leak. Firstly, Dragon's Dogma 2, which I think was set to come out in 2022 on the release date schedule. I think this one's nailed on. I think recently we've seen a Dragon's Dogma anime on Netflix, which wasn't half bad, actually. I watched it. Give that a try if you like your anime and your Dragon's Dogma. So I think this one happens. It's been a good while since Dragon's Dogma. It's a cult classic. People love that game. People wanted a game. We did see the first game get a re-release on last-gen consoles and then again on Switch. So I think this is well in Capcom's minds, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it. How about you?
I am not too familiar with this franchise, and I am YouTubing it as we speak. let's have a look.
It's an action RPG.
It looks like I'd play this.
You have your player character, which you create, and then you have what is I forget what they're called, but they're basically like, you know, these they're human like, but they're not human. Mm. They're kind of drawn in from a different dimension.
Right.
That kind of accompanies your character. You get one for your character, but then you can also summon other ones from other players. That could be their other random players ones that you can kind of randomly pick off a list, or you can summon your friends' characters. And I remember when I started the game, I got a decent random character. What are they called? Oh, it's gonna annoy me. I'll quietly Google that in the background. But I got a decent random one. And then a friend on my friends list who used to be part of my Gears of War team back in the day, he had already played through the game and completed it. So I got to use his as well. So I had like these two ridiculously powered characters.
Carried through a game.
By AI, pretty much. it made the game a lot easier until it got to the latter stages of the game. So it's quite fun. But like it was a really cool game in that like when you're fighting like flying enemies, you could jump on their backs and like dig your sword
it
in.
It looked good.
And you get carried up into the air and then you'd like dive off. I mean it was awesome. So I will be straight on this one. Pawns. That's what the summonable NPC or well, they were playable to a degree. But kind of companion characters were called. So I think this is gonna happen and I'll be very excited when it does happen. Next on the list is Street Fighter VI. There was also, I remember on the leak, there was like Street Fighter VI Ultimate and Super Street Fighter VI. So they'd already announced like the better versions of Street Fighter VI. Well, already had leaked the better versions of Street Fighter VI before Street Fighter VI is even officially announced. But again, this was slated for 2022. So I think it's long overdue. So I'd be expecting this one to be another one that we see on the day.
Easy money. Everyone knows what. Even I know what Street Fighter is. I'm only host of a game podcast. Go.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 remake. I think we kind of touched this on last week's preview, don't we?
Yeah.
Free money, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we know this is coming. But I'm now a little doubtful on whether we'll see it at the showcase, simply because I didn't think they were going to talk about Resident Evil Village, you know, kind of what's next with that, like DLC and this. I thought with the game coming out so recently that they just leave that game to, you know, for people to play it and that they'd look to what's next from Resident Evil, which of course will be Resident Evil 4 Remake. But now I'm starting to doubt that, and I'm thinking maybe do they leave Resident Evil 4 Remake till later in the summer, potentially Tokyo Game Show, and we see it kind of officially announced at that point, and for now that they just keep the focus on Resident Evil Village, not wanting to kind of scattershot around. We know they have a million Resident Evil games on the horizon thanks to said list, but I'm not sure that Capcom will want to highlight too many of them at once. So if we're getting Resident Evil Village DLC, I think maybe Resident Evil 4 Remake could sit this one out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Next up, Omanusha.
Yeah.
Again, I'm YouTuber in the background, so heavy lifting, Cal.
So, yeah, Omanusha was a kind of samurai Devil May Cry-ish type game. I mean, I always kind of associated those two games closely. It obviously both are Capcom games as well, which helps. But effectively, you're a samurai and you kill demons. I played one of the Omanushas back in the PS2. Absolutely loved it. Strange that I never really tried the other titles. When they released the remake for PS4 a couple of years ago, I picked it up, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. Surprise, surprise. But people, you know, really enjoyed the remake and then were just itching for a new title. So it's not surprised it turned out when we saw the leak that Capcom were using this to kind of put out the feelers.
It's Resident Evil.
Yeah, it kind of would have came out around the same time as Resident Evil 4. Don't quote me, but I think they might have used the same engine. And there was definitely strong Resident Evil vibes from Omanusha. Like I'd like Resident Evil, Omanusha, Dino Crisis, which good Christ, I'd love if they announced a new Dino Crisis at this thing. They probably won't, but I'd love
Please.
It. Or even a remake of the first one. But all those games kind of borrowed from each other. It always sticks, particularly I remember when you'd pick up items, it looked virtually the same. So that always sticks in my mind. So that's definitely a good shout. But again, this one I believe was slated in the leak for 2022. Maybe they've pushed that back. But if it's coming in 2022, I wouldn't be surprised to see this one. And I'd be really happy to see this one.
Mega Man?
Yeah, what can we say? A new Mega Man title. You'd assume it's going to be Mega Man 12. I enjoy the Mega Man games, but I'm not really kind of up to date on the rumors for what's next for Mega Man. But it's been a while. Mega Man 11 was okay. I'm sure there will have been lessons learned there. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, 2022 was the leaked date. Again, that could have been pushed back. Given how little has been said about this title, I would have felt more would have came out at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if this one has been pushed back. So this is maybe the one that I'm least confident in seeing during the showcase. But I'm sure Mega Man fans, we know how passionate they are. They'll be very excited to see this one. But I guess I won't ask for your take, I seen as you literally earlier on the podcast said you weren't a fan of Mega Man. Anything else you can think of from the Capcom side of things that we could potentially see here, or do you think that these titles just about cover the possibilities?
It sounds like they have enough, and when they start shows at 5:30, that kind of gives me vibes it'll already be 30 minutes. I may be completely wrong in that, but you know. This is the one that's partnered with Razer, isn't it?
Is it? I know there is a Razer showcase before it, yeah.
I think these are together, so maybe I'm guessing that'll be an hour altogether. So whatever Razer are showing, then 30 minutes of Capcom, I think. What did we just list there? 4 new games or whatever?
Yeah, so 4 confirmed titles, and then we obviously talked about 6 potential titles. I have my doubts over Resident Evil 4 and a new Mega Man title. So
let's say 6 or 7 things if we get some of the possible ones.
Yeah,
I think that's quite a lot in half an hour. Yeah, but you don't need to spend long on Resident Evil Village, as we said, and Monster Hunter stuff kind of sells itself, especially ones coming out in July. There's not really no point, is there? So yeah, 30 minutes, cram some stuff in. I don't think all of it will be there, but I can't really think of anything Capcom's missing out there. We'll move on. Shall we do? Do you want to do Bandai before we do Nintendo? Because Nintendo's chunky boy compared to Bandai.
Yeah, so we spoke about Bandai Namco last week because again they were one of the partners revealed for Summer Game Fest, and we talked about obviously that Tales of Arise was a strong possibility, as was potentially Elden Ring. But you know, Elden Ring, I was a little unsure on. You know, given just that it's been so quiet on that game for so long. But the fact that Bandai Namco has announced a showcase makes me think that we're seeing a big blowout on Elden Ring. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the only reason E3 exists is Elden Ring, seemingly. It's what everyone wants. But yeah, I don't know why Bandai would be there. Obviously, Bandai has shitloads of stuff they could show, but Elden Ring is the main one. And when was it? Was it 2019? It was Xboxes. Was it last year?
No, definitely it wasn't last year. I think it was the year, but I think it was 2019.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was 2019. It's been a while, so yeah.
What do you think of the fact that Bandai Namco's showcase is timed at 10:25? I think for that reason, it's not an actual showcase. I think it's just one reveal for a game, similar to the Battlefield thing today. I think it's just a trailer, 5-10 minute trailer dropping. And for that reason, I think it's just going to be completely focused on Elden Ring.
That's some 4D chess, and I fucking like it. Let's go. that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that's all people want from Bandai is Elden Ring. I'm sure there's other stuff, but Elden Ring's been there. Their focus for everyone's focus for a couple of years now, as we say, so that makes all the sense in the world. Just a gameplay, CGI stuff, a release date. I think it's the best way to highlight a game that has that much hype is just to focus on that one game. Bandai isn't an Xbox or a Sony. You don't need to show a variety of things. This is just, we are Bandai Namco. this is Elden Ring, this is what's his face from Game of Thrones writer dude, I can't remember his bloody name, R.R. Martin. Here it is. Here it's coming out 2022 probably, because everything's coming out in 2022. Job done. But yeah, that makes sense, it being on its own. Definitely makes sense. Unless it's just been absolute fucking weird.
Yeah. This is it. Maybe there's something we're unaware of in Japan on that night, and that's true. The reason. But
they're really excited for the Euros.
Yeah. Outside of that, though, I think there's a reason why it's starting at 25 past, and that is that it is launching, that it is just to relaunch, let's say, a single game. And that being most likely Elden Ring, because I doubt people would be interested in a 5-minute showcase on Tales of Arise. I would, but I don't think many other people
just
would.
Carl and 12 other people.
Yeah, so I think Elden Ring is a safe bet there, but I think we talked a good bit about Elden Ring last week, so there's not much more to say on that one. So let's move on to the last one, and potentially the big boy, which is of them all, which is Nintendo at 5 p.m. on June 15th. Usually they've close out E3, but they're not getting to this year because Bandai Namco and the GameSpot Play for All showcase are coming afterwards.
1-0 Nintendo, 1-0.
This is it. But I think there's, for me to start, I think there's the first three things I've listed here are for me nailed on for Nintendo. Firstly, I think it's dead rubber is Shin Megami Tensei 5, given that they officially leaked a November 11th release date for the game on their Japanese website. Oops, by Atlas. So we haven't seen this game since it was first revealed as part of a previous direct. So I think this will be a big focus. There tends to be a lot of RPGs during directs every time, which for me as an RPG fan is always welcome. So long may it continue, Nintendo. But I think we'll see a new trailer for this game, and we'll get official confirmation of the release date that we've already technically had officially confirmed. I know that's not your kind of game, so we'll jump
Japanese.
On next. This is it. Breath of the Wild 2. I mean, Nintendo went out of their way to say that they weren't ready to talk about Breath of the Wild 2 during the last Direct, when they announced the Skyward Sword remaster for Switch. But you have to think, I mean, the rumors have long suggested that Breath of the Wild 2 is coming at the end of 2021, and that it'll be kind of the showcase title for the Switch Pro. And we know the Switch Pro is supposed to be revealed in the next few days. So do you feel this one is nailed on?
Yeah, I think Nintendo, when they do something at E3, there's usually something big there, and obviously it was only like a 30-second CGI thing at the very end of the last E3 Nintendo thing, if I remember correctly. Why wouldn't you show this? I don't think it'll be coming out this year, as they say they're not ready for that, but just to show more of it, because people know this game. Like, this is outside of Pokemon, this is Nintendo's next big thing. Obviously, Mario will probably get shown next year or whatever. But Breath of the Wild 2, Breath of the Wild 1 was one of the the best reviewed games of, it's not even last gen for Nintendo, but I'll just say last gen, but it's probably one of the most hyped games coming in the next couple of years. These last two podcasts have showed the amount of games that are coming out of absolutely hyped. And although I've not played Breath of the Wild because I didn't grow up with Nintendo, I'm not going to jump into a Zelda game. Get fucked. So Breath of the Wild 2, if you're Nintendo, this is it for you. I'll play it eventually. I own it, but it's gathering dust somewhere. Did you play one? I know you got your Switch later, didn't you?
I still haven't gotten around to it. I technically own two copies of the game. Beautiful. Which is odd, because I bought the game and then a friend gave me a loose copy that they found, and they weren't at their workplace and they weren't interested in it. So it's weird, I actually own the game twice and I still haven't played it. But I do enjoy Zelda. Obviously, I've played Ocarina of Time in the past. Didn't complete it though. Wind Waker and some of the more classic Zelda games. So I would consider myself a Zelda fan, but I don't religiously play and complete every title. I mean, it does seem, you know, Breath of the Wild, the first one, was obviously the showcase title for the Switch, even though I suppose technically it was on Wii U as well. So it would be fitting that Breath of the Wild 2 would be the showcase title for the Switch Pro. So I think it makes a lot of sense. It's interesting you suggested that potentially it might not come out till 2022, and I hadn't really considered that, you know, that while the rumors in the past have suggested 2021, maybe because we haven't heard about it yet. Maybe it isn't coming.
I don't believe any games coming out in 2021. That's the problem. Just Halo. That's
yeah, it's fair to be skeptical. So it would be interesting if it is pushed out, because then if you're getting just a new console but with no notable first party title,
who would do that?
Well, yeah, Xbox, you know all about that, yeah, as an Xbox fan. So I suppose that's what you would expect. Yeah. It's your natural
just leave expectation. It 2 years, it's fine. It's fucking fine.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm fully expecting this game to be there. And we know, as you said, Nintendo E3 in recent years tend to have one game that gets the focus and then smaller focuses on you know, maybe smaller games or games that are more far flung in the future to come afterwards. So I think Breath of the Wild 2 will be that big focus. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, a new fighter. I mean, that's nailed on for every Nintendo Direct at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to guess it's going to be, what's his name, Wario? The one who's not in it and everyone bitches he's not in it.
Waluigi?
That's the one. I don't do Nintendo outside of Pokemon.
Yeah.
This is why I'm useless at this bit. I can bullshit Sony. I can do Xbox fan, but Nintendo I struggle.
Now,
but, yeah.
This is the second to last fighter, so you know, that's been confirmed. So there's going to be two more fighters. This will be very interesting. I think with the last two, they need to go big. I mean, people aren't going to accept a Fire Emblem or a Xenoblade Chronicles character.
Who are they all the same people?
Yeah, that's not going to go down well. This has to be something big. I mean, we've had different rumors in the past, like Crash Bandicoot, and he'd probably be the biggest, to be fair. Do you think something like that is too ambitious, or could you see Crash making his way to Super Smash Bros?
It makes sense, because obviously, who the fuck makes Thingy now?
Activision,
Christ. Obviously, they're revamping Crash with remasters, and Crash 4 came out last summer, was it? I think it was, and obviously they've got a phone game and stuff like that, so it probably makes sense from a marketing point of view. Crash would probably fit in better than Spyro, you'd probably think. So why not? I think Crash makes sense. They've kind of got their Xbox guy with Banjo-Kazooie, haven't they, from Rare? I always say Master Chief, because why not? I think Crash does make sense. But at the same time, when we were speculating about this last time, Sephiroth came out of nowhere, so fuck knows, really. There's people who track this who were so surprised about Sephiroth, so me, who's I've enjoyed Smash Bros, but it's not something I track, really. But yeah, I think it could be anyone, but Crash does make sense from both parties, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it'd be really cool if we seen both Crash and Spyro, because then you'd have like Crash, Spyro, Mario, and Sonic all in Super Smash Bros., which I think they're kind of like the four biggest
Crash Bandicoot platform mascots. I see. that's a good point. We need. There'll be other ones. There'll be other clone games that we can put in there.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, I'm sure there'll be another Super Smash Bros. Game down the line that will bring even more characters. The rest of the games I've listed are kind of more guesses, really. Although one of them, there's been a lot of rumors about, which is a new Donkey Kong title.
Hmm.
Kind of the Donkey Kong Country style. It's been a while. I think the last one was Tropical Freeze. I want to say back on the Wii U. So, I think it's overdue, and I'd certainly believe that rumor. And I've always enjoyed the Donkey Kong Country games. I mean, they're one of the strongest series when it comes to 2D platformers. I wouldn't say I'm convinced we'll see this, but I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I think it may extend. I mean, when you say Wii U, that's a fucking long time ago, and that's on a console that wasn't very successful. So, does that even count as a Donkey Kong title? It's been a long time. Let's just get Diddy Kong Racing going, why not? Why not? I'm all for races, let's go. But yeah, it makes sense. I think the only thing is, if they're announcing something like that, how big is Donkey Kong? It must be, secondary or third tier title, you'd think? Because Breath of the Wild is obviously the main one.
Yeah, I think really for Nintendo, it's Mario, it's Mario Kart, it's Super Smash Bros, and it's Zelda are kind of the top tier, and everything else comes probably a couple steps down. I mean, we'll talk about another one of those series in a moment. This isn't a system seller by any means. Donkey Kong, I think it's just one of those supplementary first party titles that Nintendo kind of give to keep their fans happy. Speaking of Nintendo first party, and this is one that we already know is coming, it was revealed at the last Direct, it's coming out in 2022, is Splatoon 3. I'd have my doubts that we'll see it at the Direct, though, because I think it's not coming till next year. I think it's supposed to be the latter half of next year, so I think this would make a lot more sense given that to have it at next E3.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nintendo don't really... I think you get the odd one where they show quite a lot of third party, but in terms of first party stuff, I don't think they ram loads of stuff in. So if Breath of the Wild is going to be there, is Shin Megami first party?
No. That's Atlas, obviously. Right,
okay. So Breath of the Wild, it's just a character, isn't it? So that's not really big. But if Splatoon's late next year, I think they tend to do a Nintendo, a smaller one, don't they? They'll probably put Pokemon and then a Nintendo Direct next to each other and show stuff coming out next year. Donkey Kong. I think Donkey Kong will probably be there more of a Splatoon. Because Splatoon.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I think you're going to see from the Nintendo First Party 2... maybe 3 maximum games from their first party. So I think Breath of the Wild 2 and Donkey Kong seem very probable. So it'll be really one more after that. And, you know, they're one more after that. What they want more of a kind of, something new and something big. So for that reason, I don't think Splatoon 3 makes sense with the potential release window for that game. Speaking of big announcements, now not in the sense that, as we said, that there's four series that are kind of the upper echelon for Nintendo and everything else comes at least a couple steps behind, but a game series that certainly has a cult following, which is Metroid Prime 4. like the Metroid Prime series and the fourth entry, which bizarrely, you know, it got announced a long time ago, and then it seemed to get scrapped because apparently the developers were doing an awful job, and it got moved to a different developer and restarted, and they've gone quiet on it ever since. Do you think we'll finally see this one re-revealed?
Maybe just get the logo again. maybe again something small, not small, but how they showed Breath of the Wild 2 the last time with like a small CGI thing, and then pretty much a text update or a voiceover update. I don't think it'll be there in any big fashion, as we say. This is going to sound stupid. Maybe more of a developer update type thing than like a release selling a game type thing, if that makes sense. Just confirming this game exists pretty much, and it's the 8th rework of it is going on track.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think given how it, as we said, it was moved from a different developer and they've gone quiet completely since, I think people would take just like kind of a developer, you know, someone from the studio coming out saying, hey, we're working on this game now, we're really excited, you know, we'll have more to share in the future. That kind of thing could make a big waves, and especially if they were to couple it with some other kind of Metroid announcement, maybe a Metroid Prime collection, which there has been rumors of the first three games coming to Switch, potentially that. Or potentially a new 2D Metroid game that obviously another studio could be working on. I think there's definitely a way to package that. Now, Metroid Prime, unfortunately for Nintendo, and obviously the Switch is doing gangbusters, it's not a blunder in any sense, but there are a couple of troubled titles, and along with Metroid Prime 4, possibly the other most notable one is Bayonetta 3. We talked about Platinum Games earlier when I was talking about how happy I am that Babylon Fall is coming back. Is it time for two troubled Platinum Games projects to resurface? could we see Bayonetta 3 make an appearance at this direct?
I don't see why. No, I think when was Bayonetta 2? Must have been a fucking long time ago.
Back in the Wii U.
Yeah. Almost, what, 7? 6-7 years ago?
Probably. Bayonetta 2 came out on the 2014.
Yeah.
And then it was ported to the Switch in 2018. So, it's been a while.
Yeah, so even then, it's 3 years since the report. So, makes sense to show it. I'm not, again, 2021, I just don't trust games to come out now. So, I think, it depends how long. What's the day? What's the time? It's got 5. So it could be, I'd probably say it's an hour. If it's not 5:30, I think it'll be an hour. So I'll fill an hour. I could see it there. Maybe not a huge amount of details. But again, when a game's been troubled, like quite a lot of these are we talked about, I could just see more than a developer update on this one, I think. I think a bit of footage, maybe say 2022. And then, it's funny, because when you say Nintendo, you don't really, nowadays, you probably don't count Pokemon, because they do their own directs and stuff like that, so when they're filling their own shows, say if it's Splatoon 3 and Bayonetta 3 next year, and then if there's a Mario thing, or Metroid, or whatever, that probably makes more sense, whereas this, you get Breath of the Wild 2, Donkey Kong, whatever. It probably makes sense to me to show bits, but not release it.
Yeah, no, that could be similar. Just to kind of let you know it's still there. It wouldn't surprise me, because I do think that Platinum Games are kind of back on track. I think when you look back to 2018, 2019, they had a lot of projects on the go. They had. They were working on two Switch games with Astral Chain, which obviously did come out in 2019, and Bayonetta 3 in the works. They were working on a mobile game, World of Demons. They were working on Soul Cresta, which I think still isn't out yet. I think that's coming out later this year. Working on Babylon's Fall for PlayStation and Windows. They're working on Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, which was taken back internally by Cygames. And then obviously it's not, Scalebound was only cancelled the year before. So they had so many different projects. And I think they were kind of scattering themselves too far. They're spreading themselves too thin. And that's why we inevitably seen some products suffer. But now they seem a bit more focused. They have just the three projects on the go now. I think it's Project GG, Bayonetta 3, and Babylon's Fall. So it wouldn't surprise me now that Babylon's Fall is re-emerging to see Bayonetta 3 re-emerge as well. And hopefully we'll see a much more focused Platinum, and we'll see them get back to their best, because as I said, back in the day when they launched back in 2009, I mean, they released three games in 2009, Mad World, Infinite Space, and Bayonetta, and Vanquish just 1 year later, and all four games were class, like top class. After that, you know, there was more mixed results, let's say, but nonetheless, like those four games were top class, and it'd be great to see Platinum get back to that kind of consistency and that level. Which actually, looking at Platinum games reminds me, just to sidetrack from Nintendo for a moment, there are rumors that another Platinum Games project, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, is making some form of return to modern consoles, and that Konami could be announcing that at E3. I don't think we talked about that last week, but at least it's not zombies.
Bit of survival, whatever the fuck it was called, why not?
Yeah, no, yeah. We don't want any more Metal Gear Survival.
We do.
Hopefully, if this game is happening, I don't want it to be Platinum Games, because that would go completely against what I've just said I wanted to do, which is focus. But I hope it's a competent team that are capable of doing Platinum Games justice. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that one at all. One last one I had listed here, which I'm going to predict is going to happen. You know, I have no information to back that up, but I know a lot of fans of the franchise have expectations, which is Xenoblade Chronicles X, which was previously exclusive to the Wii U. I'm expecting we get a Switch version. I mean, the original Xenoblade Chronicles has since come to Switch. That was originally on the Wii. A lot of Wii U games have come to Switch. I think the only two that haven't are this and Star Fox, the most recent Star Fox, which was also Platinum Games developed, Star Fox Zero on the Wii U. And I think both of them will at some stage make their way to the Switch. And I think you kind of got to do it sooner rather than later. So I'm making the prediction that, and I gather a few other people have a similar prediction, that Xenoblade Chronicles X will be showcased at this direct at all. But we know that's not a Guy game, so we won't dwell there. Anything at all else for you, Guy, that you could see being at the Nintendo Direct?
Just throw a Pokemon in and on there. It won't be, but yeah. No, I can't really think of anything else there. I mean, Mario teaser would be too out the blue, I think. Luigi had thingy last year, was it? 2 years ago. I can't think of anything else, really. Unless they do just throw Pokemon in there, but what, an hour long show. I think what we've discussed easily fills an hour without throwing Pokemon in there. As I said earlier, Pokemon Directs do their own thing, don't they? So yeah, I think we've pretty much covered it after stuff. Well, the little I know of Nintendo.
Yeah, I think it's well covered. You know, as always, there'll be a lot of smaller titles, largely Japanese focused, which, 'cause, you know, they know their audience, Nintendo, for the Switch. But it's difficult for us to speculate on those. Yeah. Maybe I suppose Project Triangle Strategy just wanted to bring that one up for just simply for the name. You know, what a great title. Maybe that'll show here again rather than at Square Enix's showcase. But outside that, it's difficult to say. And that just about covers all the showcases that we know of for E3. There's still room for another one or two to be announced. We know THQ Nordic hinted they might do something. And while PlayStation isn't part of E3, I'm sure they will do something this summer. But we'll obviously preview and review that when the time comes. But for now, all we got to do is just wait to watch these things, and then I'm sure we'll be reviewing it over the next couple of shows.
Yeah, and that's it, Carl. We promised a shorter show, so we obviously did a longer one than our preview last week. it's what we do. It's what
standard stuff.
So, I mean, when we review E3, it's going to be a really short show. Just the 3 hours, I presume. That's it, people. I'm not even going to ask Carl what he's been playing because we simply don't have time. And I know he's been busy. So, yeah, that is it. Again, too long a show, but who gives a toss? It's summer. It's hot. You'll be walking about. You're something to listen to. You don't have too long to listen to it, but hopefully can listen before the shows. But thank you everyone for listening, especially to both shows. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.